Okay, let's continue. So we're in Perek of Gimel. Bilam has blessed Bnei Yisrael, given them one bracha, and now Balak is obviously unhappy. And Balak says, okay, let's try to find a different spot. Efes katseu tira v'chul osira. Maybe you can curse them from somewhere else. Now. Oh, so now the second, you know, kuala slash bracha, the bracha begins. And Bilam says as follows. In Pasuk Yudches, Vayisamesh lo vayomar, Kum Balak ushama hazino adai benot sipor, etc. So here, Rav Hirsch has an interesting comment, just to give you a picture of what's happening here. Balak is trying, desperately trying to curse Bnei Yisrael. Bilam, we know, also wanted to curse Bnei Yisrael. But, you know, Hashem keeps on putting these other words in his mouth. So let's read Rav Hirsch. Balak had bidden him to find out some weak spot on the Sofim side of the people. Thereupon, Bilam issues the command, "Stand up, Balak! You have asked about how this nation stands in the matter of getting near to the gods. You must stand up to listen to what I have to inform you of that." Oh, he says, you have to have respect. You must have respect, Balak, and to hear about Bnei Yisrael. In other words, it's like a comedy how Hashem is playing with these two Rishayim. Bilam wants to curse Bnei Yisrael. Balak wants to curse Bnei Yisrael. He's a king. Bilam wants to curse Bnei Yisrael. And Bilam's second bracha begins by saying, Balak, have kavod for Bnei Yisrael, the nation that you're trying to curse. Stand up. Show kavod to them. That's what kum here means. It's a very nice pshat that Rav Hirsch is saying. It's a different angle than Rashi. Rashi has a different angle on why he told Balak to stand up. According to Rav Hirsch, it's you have to show respect. So it's mamish, the opposite of what Hashem is mamish, totally in control. Here they are trying this way, trying that way to curse Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem turns it around. No, stand up, Balak. Show respect for this nation that you so unworthily are trying to have cursed. Okay, that's the beginning of the bracha. And then Rav Hirsch goes on to continues to explain the next few psukim in the bracha. I'll just take out some of the highlights. In Pasuk Kaf Aleph, the Torah says, Lo hibid oven b'Yaakov, v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael. Oven normally is a word used for chait. There's no chait in Yisrael. And no amal. Amal is another word for a different type of chait. Hashem doesn't, he didn't see chataim in Bnei Yisrael. Oh. They're wonderful people. So Rav Hirsch here has the following comment. He says here as follows. Yeah, and the pasuk ends. I'm sorry, the pasuk ends. Hashem Elkavimo Usruas Melech Bo. The Sruas Melech is in Amisa. What's the Sruas Melech? It's the well. The word Sruah has different meanings. The word Sruah it can mean the sound of the king, like the trumpet sound of the king. The root Sruah can come from the word friendship, as Rashi learns Chiba Vareus, the friendship of the king. Oh, so let's see. Our first says as follows. Page 412. Lo hibid oven b'Yaakov. Lo hibid oven gives the reason why Hashem has blessed this people. Avon is the misuse of own. So our first likes to show how different words in Hebrew that are similar, our first likes to show the relationship between them. So avon, ayin vav nun, is similar to own, aleph of vav nun. Right, just that the aleph, I mean, the second parts are the same. So our first says, what's the pshat? Own is power and wealth. Of own is when you misuse power and wealth. So before Hashem blesses a nation, he first finds out whether it will misuse the own, which is to be granted to it. Before Hashem promised own to Yaakov, to raise it thereby to become Yisrael, Hashem found out whether Yaakov would misuse this own to oven. Own means strength. Aleph, Vav, Nun. Oven, Aleph, Vav, Nun, but with the Nekudos oven, means the misuse of the own. Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov. No, Hashem did not see oven b'Yaakov. God did not foresee in Yaakov any misuse of the greatness into which he was to be invested. And that is why he saw no misfortune in Israel. No cause for Amal. Rav Hirsch understands, Lo bidavam v'Yakov v'lo ra amo b'Yisrael. Hashem didn't see any cause for trouble amongst Bnei Yisrael. That's what amo is. Amo is when there's an obstacle against you and it's stopping you. No, Am Yisrael is going to succeed. Why? Because lo bidavam v'Yakov. Therefore, lo ra amo b'Yisrael. Because lo bidavam v'Yakov. Since Am Yisrael is going to use their powers properly. Therefore, there's a praise to Am Yisrael. Therefore, lo ra'am ol b'Yisrael, they're not going to have difficulties and that they won't be able to overcome these difficulties. If Am Yisrael puts its efforts into something, it will succeed. Then, our verse continues. Oh, the word trua. Trua is a stirring up of a sound. Truas melech bo. It means as follows. Referring to Hashem, the trua designates the completely submissive feeling of homage brought about by the overpowering thought of His greatness. That Hashem is in total control. See, trua is a sound that scares you. It scares you. So the trua of the king reflects Hashem is totally in control. We're trembling in front of the king. So what's the pshat? Here it means God is with the nation, and in it there is nothing but homage paid to the king. The nation, Am Yisrael, acknowledges Hashem as the king, and the whole internal realm of the nation is filled with this homage, this respect to the king. In other words, the Usuas Melech Bo means the nation is full of this respect, this awe that it pays to the king. Usuas Melech Bo. And Rav Hirsch says that the vav of Usuas Melech Bo should be read as a causative conjunction, which means because. So let's read the pasuk. Hashem Elokav Imo, Hashem is with Bnei Yisrael because Suas Melech Bo. Because the Suas Melech, the tremendous respect you have to have for a king, the trembling respect for Am Yisrael has. This is Am Yisrael. We have respect for Hashem. We listen to Hashem. Therefore, Hashem is with us. We use our koach kochos properly, loy bidavam v'Yakov, and therefore we will succeed when we come up against obstacles. This is the beautiful bracha which Bilam is forced to give to Bnei Yisrael from Hashem. Oh, next, the psukim continue. In pasuk kaf dalet, the Torah writes, Bilam says, "Hein am kilavi yakum." V'cha'ari yisnasa. Behold, hen means behold. A people that rise up like a lion and raises itself like a lion. Okay, it's some sort of mashal referring to a lion. Oh, so Rashi there quotes a beautiful idea. We get up in the morning in Shacharis to serve Hashem, to grab mitzvos and to put on talis and tefillin and say Shema. Beautiful Rashi. Rav Hirsch has another angle on this pasuk. Rav Hirsch says as follows, page 414, Hein Am. He says Am Yisrael doesn't need the special kisamim that Balak was using, these special magical incantations. We don't need that for our strength. Rav Hirsch says, we don't need the physical strength to fight off our other enemies. Rather what? Hein Am, by fulfilling its social mission internally, by quietly living its own social life. Am is like Im, together, as one. It becomes dauntless as a leopard and strong as a lion to the external world. And by its internal virtues, it conquers the world. A beautiful pshat. Hein Am, we're a nation. Our strength comes from being an Am. We have this social cohesion. Am Yisrael, when it does the mitzvos and acts properly, the level of morality is very high. When the level of morality is high, there is a cohesiveness amongst the people. People get along. There's less fighting. You see the high level of ruchnius within the nation. Hein Am, when we're an Am, when we are working together, and we feel this sense of unity, so then that internal strength, Rav Hirsch calls it quietly living its own social life. I mentioned this earlier. When the Jews act properly and serve Hashem properly and raise their children properly, that is what gives us the strength. That is what gives us the strength over our enemies. And that's how our first interprets Am. Am as opposed to Goy. Goy our first interprets to mean a strong, powerful nation, on the which relates more to the physical side. But Am refers to the cohesion, the quiet social life, living a proper social life of the Im of the nation, living together, which gives Am Yisrael its strength. Rav Hirsch says, this is the pshat back in Pasuk Tes as well. Back in Pasuk Tes, the one that we discussed from the Netziv, Hein Am Levadad Yishkon, Uvagoyim Lo Yischashav. Rav Hirsch says, that's the pshat over there as well. When we're an Am, we're strong. An Am means the internal national mission of the Am, as a national social body. But Goy amongst the Goyim, the powerful, imposing national body that the Goyim have, so that's not where our strength lays. Our strength doesn't lay as being like one of the Goyim. Our strength is founded upon being an Am, this proper social, national social body, living our lives as a nation in the proper way. Oh, this is our first take on the second bracha, which Bilam offers to Klal Yisrael. Okay. Obviously, Balak now is quite upset, and Balak says, you know, I asked you to curse, and now you're giving brachas. And now he attempts a third time to curse Klal Yisrael in Sukkim, starting from Sukkim Kafhei through Kafhes. Oh, so here the Netziv has an approach regarding this third attempt at a Kuala. This third attempt, the Netziv has the following idea. It's part of a broader picture, but we'll just stick with this idea. He says here as follows. It's interesting, here when Bilam is going to make the third attempt, Bilam says to Balak, build 7 Mizbeachs and offer Shiva Parim v'Shiva Elim, and offer Karbanos, 7 cows and 7 bulls and 7 rams. Now this is the first time Bilam said this. Earlier we saw 7 Mizbeachs, but 7 Mizbeachs with 7 Parim and 7 Elim, there's a special emphasis here on the 7. So somehow the Netziv says this emphasis on 7 is the secret for what Bilam had in mind for this third Kuala. And the Netziv develops the following idea. It says as follows. This is the Netziv near the end of Perek Kaf Gimel. Ra'a, Bilam had seen already, Shemin hanimna she yisratze hamakom mekalelos Yisrael, achar shitim, etc. If they live al pi haTorah, etc. Bilam had already seen, this is the theme of the previous brachas, he won't be able to curse Bnei Yisrael, v'yefshar l'shanos t'chilas kavanas habriyah, and Hashem wants there to be an Am Yisrael, he wants the Am Yisrael to live according to the Torah, that's what Hashem wants, and that's not going to change. However, Bilam felt as follows. He didn't want Am Yisrael to be destroyed now. He isn't able to destroy them now. Meaning, he didn't want to curse them with destruction because he knew that was impossible. What's happening? Oh, this is as follows. Omnam gamhu chas al shiva umos she Yisrael hochim le'abdom. V'zelo ha'yachet le'bilam le'vakesh alehem rachamim both and she'mekomekom Yisrael yel goy gadol k'ratzen Hashem. V'hainu she'yase lehem yishuv ba'midbar ha'gadol ve'hanora. Bilam, his new approach was not to try to have Am Yisrael destroyed, but to have the 7 nations protected. Am Yisrael is heading into Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to destroy the 7 nations. So Bilam now, his new angle, is work on defending the Zion Amin. And that's why the added focus of 7, 7, 7, 7, work on the Zion Amin, defend them. What's going to happen to Klal Yisrael? So the Netziv says, Bilam's intention was, They could be a great nation in the Midbar. And he continues, Bilam thought that the destruction of the Zion Umos was a gzeirah because of their sins. It was because of their sins. That wasn't something which was essential part of Hashem's plan for Am Yisrael and Eretz. So no, maybe Hashem could have his plan of having a special nation even in the Midbar. So this is what Bilam had in mind. The Imkain, Ratzah b'zeh apam lizpalel al shiva umos. Be'ofen, here's the punchline. Be'ofen shelo yagia liYisrael shum ra. The goal here wasn't that Am Yisrael should have tzaras, because Bilam already saw that's not going to work. Bilam tried to inflict tzaras on Am Yisrael in the first two brachas, and he failed. Now we have a third one. You can't inflict tzaras on Am Yisrael. Maybe you can protect the Zion Amamin. That's the goal of Bilam at this point. A very interesting approach of the Netziv. Therefore, Al Kain, Tziva Lahachin Shiva Mizbachos, Fuyaki Avuram, etc. That's why the emphasis on seven Mizbeachs and seven Karbanos and seven, because the focus of this Klala is going to be more the protection of the Zion Amin than the destruction of Klal Yisrael. This is how the Netziv introduces, in a sense, Bilam's angle in this third attempt of the Klala against Klal Yisrael. Okay. Good. Okay. Now we're in Perakov Dalid. Here in Perakov Dalid is where Bilam starts his third bracha for Klal Yisrael. This is the famous bracha where Bilam says, Ma tov olcha Yaakov, mishkanosecha Yisrael. How good are your tents, Yaakov, your dwelling places, Israel. This is the famous bracha of Bilam. Now, Rav Moshe here has a very, 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 very deep shot about what's going on here in these brachos of Bilam. And it's based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which Rashi refers to. And the idea is, I want to try to explain what Moshe has in mind. What Moshe explains, the idea is as follows. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rashi in Pasuk Vav. Rashi quotes as follows. Amar Rabbeinu, mi birchosav shel oso rasha, anu lemeiti mahaya b'libo l'kalam. From the brachos that the Rasha, that Bilam said, we see what was in his heart to curse Bnei Yisrael. Shahafach hamakom espiv bracham bircham eino samchol shabikei shlomo. That's what's happening. Hashem turned it around. Whatever bracha Bilam said to Bnei Yisrael, he had in mind to curse us exactly in that area, and Hashem turned it around from a klala into a bracha. That's the Gemara that Rashi quotes. Well, we also know Rashi quotes earlier on our Pasuk, in Pasuk Hey, on Ma Tov Olecha Yaakov, the famous Chazal, that the tents of Bnei Yisrael were situated in a way that there was tznius, people weren't looking into each other's homes. That's the proper way to have, Rashi quotes it from the Gemara. Ra Pitchayim Sheinu Mukhubanin Zemul Zeh. Their doors weren't open facing each other, rather it was in a way where the homes were not facing each other, it's more tzanua. So Moshe is wondering, is there a connection between these two Mamari Chazal? That's the issue which Rav Moshe is dealing with in the Darash Moshe near the end of Parshas Balak. Okay, now. The simple pshat of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which Rashi quotes, is, the simple pshat is, that Chazal had a Mesorah. Chazal had it somehow understood that whatever Bilam praised, really he wanted to curse. So what's happening here? Bilam says, Ma tovu olecha Yaakov. So Chazal say, Bilam gave a bracha to the Ohalim, a Mishkanosecha. So the Ohel can refer to the Ohel of Torah, the Ohel of the Shechina. That refers to the Batei Medrash and Batei Knesios. So since Bilam praised Ohalecha, It shows really he wanted to destroy the Ohel Echa. Really he wanted to destroy the Ohel of Torah, Batei Medrash. He wanted to destroy the Ohel of the Shechina, Batei Knesses. So this is the simple pshat of the Gemara. So whatever Bilam praises, really we see he had in mind to curse us about that thing. That's the pashut pshat. But Rav Moshe thinks there might be a deeper idea here. It's not just, whatever item Bilam spoke about, he wanted the opposite to happen to that item. Rav Moshe thinks that the content of the bracha itself shows what he wanted the klala to be. What's the idea? Matov Olecha Yaakov, that there's a lot of tznius, and there's morality, and that's the wonderful bracha of Chai Yisrael. Rav Moshe says as follows. Here's what Bilam had in mind. He was saying a deep idea. He had a taina. Einam tzrichim lubatei kinesios, me'achar shebatim min ha'hagim betov, ve'ein tzarich lishivot lubatei chinuch. This was what Bilam was saying. He says, look, their homes are so beautiful. Their homes are so wonderful. There's morality and everything's done the right way. There's tznius. They don't need batei midrashos and batei knesios. The home itself is enough. So when Chazal say that Bilam wanted to curse us, that we shouldn't have more batei knesios and more batei medrash, Chazal understood that klala from the content of the actual simple pshat of the bracha, which Bilam said. Bilam's bracha was, their homes are wonderful, their homes are full of tznius, their homes are full of kedusha. So Bilam was saying, and therefore, they don't need batei midrashos, they don't need batei knesios, and those can be destroyed. And that's with the pshat that it's nicker from the bracha what his klala was. In other words, the simple pshat of the Gemara is, whatever he blessed, really had a mind to curse. But Moshe says it's deeper than that. From the language of the bracha itself, from the content of the actual bracha that he gave, we can infer and understand what klala Bilam had in mind. It's a very deep pshat. He's taking the Gemara one big step deeper. Bilam, of course, was wrong, Rav Moshe says. That no, the emes is, Ein lismach hachinuch shebabayis levad. El esorech bekibetz chaverim, biyotei tzarav, umorim, etc. Rav Moshe says, no, that Bilam was making a mistake. A wonderful kadosh home isn't enough. You have to have good schools, you have to have batei kinesios, and that's the pshat that Hashem said, no, Bilam, it's a nice bracha you're giving, that Bnei Yisrael have kedusha in their homes, but that which you're trying to learn, that which you're trying to infer from that they don't need batei kinesios, is a mistake. They still need the batei kinesios. So again, this is Rav Moshe's pshat. From the bracha itself, from the content of the bracha itself, we can infer what exactly was Bilam's klala, and Hashem turned it around to make it into a bracha. So it comes out, this bracha has a double-layered meaning. On the simple level, it's a bracha about the kedusha of our homes. And on a deeper level, that bracha, which was supposed to be a klala against the batei midrashos, becomes a bracha about having more batei midrashos and batei knesios. So this bracha has to be understood on two levels. And that's the double pshat of Chazal, how the two Chazals fit together. The Chazal which Rashi quotes here in Pasuk Hey, and the Chazal which Rashi quotes in Pasuk Vav. Mamash, a beautiful vort in the Darash Moshe. Okay, let's continue in Balak. We'll move on to Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch has a beautiful pshat here. On Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov, Mishkan Asecha Yisrael. The translation in English is, how good are your tents, Yaakov, the inhabitants of Israel, or your dwelling places, excuse me, how good are your tents, O Yaakov, meaning Bnei Yisrael, your dwelling places, Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so our first points out, it doesn't say how beautiful, it says how good. Let's read our first. Ma tovu, how good, not how beautiful. How good, How greatly do your homes correspond to the moral idea and the true well-being of a nation? They can be the temporary tents of a wandering Jacob, or the stately mansions of Israel. Rav Hirsch is referring to the Yesod, that the name Yaakov often refers to Bnei Yisrael when they're weak and they're down, and Bnei Yisrael refers to Bnei Yisrael when they're strong and powerful. He says it doesn't matter. It could be Yaakov, it could be the Oholim of Yaakov when they're traveling and they're not so strong, or it could be the Mishkanos of Yisrael. Either way, they're good. Israel's family homes are Nechalim and Ginos. They are blessing, bringing brooks, and even blessed gardens. Every home and every family branch, like a brook, makes material, spiritual, and moral welfare flow down to each succeeding generation, and itself is a material, spiritual, and moral blessed human garden in any of its own contemporary periods. Oh, they are the same time Oholim and Arazim, combining the delicate ethereal essence of Elos with the firm strength of cedars, the beneficent, noble, and ennobling spirituality with strength and endurance. Oholim, as Mar Oholim v'kinamon, from Pasuk in Mishlei. So Rav Hirsch here is referring to the next Pasuk. It says, Kinecholim nitoyuk ganos ali nahar, kaholim nata Hashem karazim ali imayim. So Rav Hirsch is explaining these psukim, like brooks and gardens, the point being that brings bracha when you live a life of ruchnius, and you live a life of morality, so then any gashmius that you have ends up being a source for more of Avodas Hashem. And that's the pshat of Matovu Alecha Yaakov, as opposed to not how beautiful, but rather how good.
Well, this void of Rav Hirsch here, although it's brief, I hold it's mamish, a major yisod in life. Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkenosecha Yisrael. It's good and not beautiful. Now, you know, this comes up a lot in real life. You know, when a person's deciding to set up a home, So you go through what's important to you, you know, and what goes into a person's home? Does a person put his effort into making his home good or making his home beautiful? It's a major yesod. When it comes to building a home, we have to have the emphasis on making our homes good. A place of morality, a place of Avodas Hashem, a place of the moral ideals. It's a major yesod, mamash a major yesod. People are fortunate enough to be wealthy, they have to use it the right way. A beautiful home that isn't good is not living up to the standards here of this bracha. The name of the game is having a good home, much more than a beautiful home. This, when it comes to choosing a spouse, when it comes to choosing where to live, when it comes to choosing a neighborhood and a shul rabbi, whatever can go into having a good home, a proper home, a moral home, a proper home, that's what counts. That's the name of the game. And not whether the home is beautiful or not. To adjust one's sights and maybe compromise one's standards somewhat on the beauty of a home is one thing. But on the goodness of a home, cannot be compromised. That's what Rav Hirsch is pointing out here. Mamash shot in the pasuk. Matov alecha Yaakov. Good and not how beautiful. Oh, a beautiful word from Rav Hirsch.
Actually a beautiful pshat of, it's a good pshat and a beautiful pshat of Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch continues in pasuk ches. Kel motio mi Mitzrayim. Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim. Etc. etc. What's the reference to Mitzrayim? So our first here says, along these lines, a beautiful idea. He says here, when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they had nothing else of national power. They were a slave nation, totally under the control of the Mitzrayim. What did they have? So our first explains. It was just this chaste morality of character, this being free from Gilui Arayas and all peor immorality, which was already in Egypt, the general inherited nobility of the sons and daughters of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael already, Bizman Mitzrayim, had this level of morality of not succumbing to the znus of Mitzrayim. It was this unanimity of moral character which already then formed a strong bond of fellowship when externally every other condition for a national union was lacking. In Mitzrayim, we had nothing else except for that. So our first says, why is this mentioned as part of the bracha? Kel Motzio Mitzrayim means already when they were leaving Mitzrayim, they had this strength. This strength of Matov Olecha Yaakov, already we had a Mitzrayim, we had inherited it from the Avos, the Hashem who brought them out of Egypt, because of this fundamental moral character, which they possess, is the one who further grants them this sudden, mighty growth of power, because through them, his law of morality obtains a place, again, amongst mankind. It says, Kel Motzio Mitzrayim, Kisol Fos Reim Lo, it becomes a powerful re'aim for Hashem. The idea is that the same Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim because of the strength of moral character, therefore then gives us other powerful strength that when necessary, will use that strength to help spread Hashem's name amongst mankind. First continues, they conquer nations, or rather, Hashem makes nations go down before them because those nations are tzarav. Those nations are the enemies of Hashem's laws of morality and make the world opposed to him. For it is repeatedly pointed out that in the Arias chapter, that in the inhabitants of Canaan came under the heavenly decree of doom, just on account of their moral depravity. In other words, the Jews are heading towards Eretz Canaan. They're going to wipe out the nations of Canaan. That's why Balak was afraid in the first place. So Bilam is saying, yes, they're going to wipe you out. Why are they going to wipe you out? Because they're a nation of strong moral character. Matov Uelcha Yaakov. They had this strong moral character already in Mitzrayim. Kel Motzio Mitzrayim. There they had nothing else. This is all they had. And Hashem, who took this nation out of Mitzrayim, Kel Motzio Mitzrayim, then made them a strong nation. Kisofos Reim Lo, a very strong, powerful nation. Yochal Goyim Tzarav, and they are going to destroy these other Goyim, meaning Hashem's going to have these other Goyim destroyed by them. Why? Because these other Goyim are dafka spreading immorality, and Hashem is going to use Bnei Yisrael to help wipe out immorality. So that's how our first explains the flow, the connection from Pasuk Hey and Vav through Pasuk Ches. Okay, it's a very nice pshat. Rav Hirsch has this theme elsewhere. The fact that as a nation, we were born as a nation when, on our own, we had nothing of physical prowess. We were totally dependent on Hashem. See, here Rav Hirsch has the other angle, that all that we had was our strength of moral character. But Rav Hirsch in Shmos focuses on the fact that when we left Mitzrayim, we had nothing. We had no physical power at all. We were totally dependent on Hashem. Rav Hirsch says, this teaches us the message, the theme, that a Jew should always realize, just like as in the birth of the nation, we were dependent on Hashem's strength to lead us and to guide us. So too, at all times, a Jew has to always realize that we are dependent on Hashem's strength to govern us. And the more that we follow Hashem, the more Hashem's going to lead us and govern us in a positive way. So in Shmos, Rav Hirsch focuses on the fact that we had nothing of physical strength. We were totally dependent on Hashem. Here, in the bracha that Bilam is giving, Rav Hirsch focuses on, although we had nothing physical, we had no national powerful physical trappings of power, but we did have this national strength of moral character. Okay. Oh, along these lines, Rav Hirsch continues that since this is the bracha Bilam's giving, so now we understand a little better the flow of the Eitzah, which Bilam gives to Balak in Pasuk Yudalad. In Pasuk Yudalad, Bilam continues, V'atah, he says, G'cha, now, I'atzecha, I will give you advice, Asher yasa am ha'azeh li'amcha b'achas ha'yomim. I will give you advice. So Rashi says, Mahi Eitzah, Elo kehem shel elu sone zimahu kuhu. Hashem hates zima, he hates znus and promiscuity. Keda shebilam he see eitzazu, lachshilam bezima, sharinem, or hanenu bnei Yisrael, bidvar bilam. Later on it says, by the chet of Manos Midian, these were the ones who went against Midian, Bidvar Bilam. So here Bilam is advising, and it, Mamash, it flows very nicely, Balak, in my bracha, I've been showing how B'nai Yisrael's Matzov Alech Yaakov, their strength of moral character, and that's where their strength comes from, and that not that their houses are beautiful, but their houses are good, and that's why Hashem gives them strength to conquer the nations that are immoral. So if you, Balak, want to weaken B'nai Yisrael, my advice is try to undercut the strength of moral character and attack them on this, in this idea of immorality. So that's what Chazal say here in Pasuk Yudalad. And as our first develops, Imamish flows very nicely out of the bracha that Bilam just gave to B'nai Yisrael. Oh, here's what our first says. He says, one is certainly justified in referring that the event of Benos Midian to the Iotzcha, to the advice with which Bilam gave Balak now, the advice to entice Israel's youth to their downfall. For Bilam had just declared in his last prophetic speech that it was just in the poor aspect in which Balak made the last attempt to find the weak spot in Yisrael, just in this was where the people's strength lay. That it was their purity of morality which formed the fundamental condition for their close relationship to Hashem. So therefore, again, just what I said before, that since Bilam just finished his whole bracha regarding our strength of moral character, it fits that here he gives the advice to weaken us on a level of morality. Hashem is the very antithesis of Peor. If you succeed in enticing them, B'nai Yisrael, to sensual depravity, you will lead them to their ruin, etc., etc. This is the flow of the bracha of Bilam to the advice here, which Bilam gives to Balak. Okay. Finally, at the end of the parsha, we have the chet of Peor with the Benos Midyan and the chet of Znos. Now, so this chet here ended up being a combined chet of Znos and Avodah Zarah. It says, Vayochalam liznos es el Benos Moav. They acted with Znus to Benos Moav, Vatikrenol Mazifcha Ohehen, and then they enticed us, they called us to do Avodah Zarah to their gods, etc., to Baal Peor. So there's a brief comment here of Rav Kamenetsky. He quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that when the Benos Midyan approached us to start doing Avodah Zarah, they were already Arumos. They were already without clothing. He quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Kuv Vav, "Vatikren olam lezivcha ohehen." Rabbi Elezer Omer, "Arumos paguben." Perish Rashi, "Vatikrena begufan." They called to us in a sense with their goof, that they were already not clothed, so they were using the znus to entice B'nai Yisrael to Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yaakov says he thinks that Maimer Chazal is mamish. Hinted at, even more than hinted at in the Pasuk. Rav Yaakov says, "Ulefi aneis daiti dulam dukein mi seder hakasuv." They learned it, that Chazal learned out this idea from the order of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Aleph, "Vayochalam liznos." First they were doing znos, and then vatikrena. Then vatikrena. Mashma, that the calling to Bnei Yisrael for Avodah Zarah came after the znos. So this Maimer Chazal in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Vav, Rav Yaakov points out, is mamish hinted at in the simple flow of the psukim from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Beis. This the Mefarshim do a lot. The Gra did this very often, and other Achronim, that when Chazal will say things, and then the Mefarshim will find hints in the Chumash itself for ideas which Chazal say. And here's a classic example, that the idea that they dafka called to us when they were already arumos, Rabbi Yaakov points out, as mamish hinted at in the floor of the psukim, in the floor of the psukim themselves. Okay, this is Parshas Balak, and we will stop here for Parshas Balak. The Maisa with Pinchas, that Pinchas came and killed the Isha Yisrael with the Isha HaMidyonis, we will discuss Mitch Hashem at the beginning of Parashas Pinchas. There's some major Yesodos there that the Mepharshim develop. That we'll discuss Mitch Hashem in the beginning of Parashas Pinchas. Okay, we'll stop here for Balak.